Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune, Pastor Dusty White, and Chris Hemmelman of Coram Deo Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about giving the gift of your presence.
Wow.
On this gift cold December day.
That's a pun.
It is a pun. It's
double
a holiday pun.
Hey, how do we get in? How should we? What's the best way to enter into this topic, Dusty?
I mean, one way to enter into it, Bob, would be to say we are easily distracted and we are all over the place. Meanwhile, you're actually only in one place. And so how do you maximize where you're currently at?
Yeah, this is it's coming out of a lot of reflection that we've been doing as leaders over the past year. Coming out of both the question of spiritual formation, what is it that the gospel restores us to? What would a mature godly leader be like? And also from some secular insights on leadership that dovetail with that really well. There's a book I read about a year ago by Edwin Friedman called A Failure of Nerve. And Friedman was a secular Jewish psychiatrist, and he did a lot of work with leaders. And his book is that the biggest problem with leadership is a failure of nerve, that people don't have the courage, they don't have a calming presence. And the leader is the person who brings what Friedman calls a non-anxious presence to a room or to a situation or to an organization or to a family. And so it got me and us thinking a lot about presence. And here's a question maybe that can get us started. And this is a question for our listeners. I would want you to be able to answer this question for yourself. And I think this is one of those questions that you could think on for weeks and months and for some fruitful discernment. Here's the question. How do people experience me? How do people experience me? That's a question that has to do with what is my presence like? When people experience my presence, what do they experience? So what I like about that question is it's less about character. It's less about my internal soul. It's less about what's going on inside me. And it's a lot about when I come into a room, what do people experience and how do they experience me? And this is one of those questions that I think for a lot of us, we just lack self-awareness in this area. I know I did for a long time. And so I just was unaware of how people experienced me. And it took helpful community around me to help me start to see how I came across and see how people experienced me as a leader. And that was really fruitful for me to start seeking the Lord to do deeper work in my soul that would change my presence. But as you mentioned, Dusty, in sort of how you got us into this conversation, presence is a problem. A lot of us just are not present in our lives. It's like we're there, but we're not present. We're perpetually distracted. We're perpetually busy. We're perpetually thinking on and working on four and five different things at once. And so if you think about how do your friends experience you, how do your kids experience you, how does your gospel community experience you, how do your work associates experience you, man, are you ever fully there? And Dusty, this is sort of shorthand as we work with leaders. We sometimes say, man, that guy's just not in the building. Like, he's not in the room. And it's an intangible thing. It's an intuitive thing. But you can tell when it just feels like, man, I'm talking to this guy, but he's not here.
Yeah, in addition to that, we've commented on this before. Sensing Jesus and Zach Eswine have been helpful in this, where he's basically on a quest for leaders and pastors to recover their identity and their humanity. And so, yeah, it comes out of deep reflection. But we want to basically ask the question today, where are you at relationally speaking? And because here's the thing, you can be easily distracted by all kinds of things that you need to be doing, but the reality is you can only deal with whatever's right in front of your face right now. You can be dreaming and thinking and having vision about tomorrow and tonight and things that are coming down the pipe. However, whoever's right in front of your face is the thing that matters the most. And so how are you relating to that person?
So let's tie those questions together. How do people experience me and how am I relating to the current immediate moment that I'm in?
Tell us some stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you ask some people how they experience you, it'll be interesting. I left, we went out of town recently on a road trip, and I was getting ready the night before. And, man, leaving on a road, I got four kids and a dog, and, you know, leaving on a road trip is just chaos. You know what I'm talking about, Dusty. It's just chaos to just get people in the car and on the road, and everybody wants to bring, you know, seven things they don't need to bring, and then they forget the two things that they really should bring. And so it's a little bit of a chaotic moment. But our kids like to leave really early. They're older, and so they like to get up early because they have this excitement of, like, we have to go, you know? And so the night before we left, we were talking about, like, I was like, all right, here's what, you know, you guys need to have your suitcases packed, and when you wake up, I want you to get all your stuff out of the bathroom and get it in your suitcase. And, you know, I was kind of going through the list of, like, here's what we need to do in the morning, you know, to make sure that you got everything you need. And one of my kids was like, Dad, are you going to be in your trip mode again? I was like, what do you mean? And like, well, every time we go on a trip, you're like in a terrible mood for the first 30 minutes because you're like, you're mad at everybody for not getting their stuff in the car. And we always leave late and we always forget something. And so, I mean, you know, I can laugh at that, but it made me realize my kids experience me in a certain way when we leave for a trip. I am present in a certain way, and it's not a blessing way. It's not like a lighthearted way. It's a heavy, stressed out, you know, sort of demanding presence. And so that was insightful for me. It's an answer to that question. How do people experience me? And so it was fruitful for me to get that feedback from my kids and to go, all right, well, part of sanctification that in my life is going to look like I can show up in a different way to leave for a trip. If my presence in leaving for the next trip is the same as it always has been, that's not sanctification. That's not growth in godliness. And so it gives me an easy sort of marker to go, all right, I want to be different. I want my kids to experience me differently in that moment, because I want them to experience a more Christ-like presence and a less fleshly presence.
So it seems like there's two threads here we're hitting at. One is a presence that may be fully there in one sense, but is not what we would want it to be. We would want people to experience our presence in a more godly, gracious way. The other that Dusty was kind of alluding to is just being fully present in the moment of whether, you know, being distracted by other things or not engaging the person where they are.
No, but I would say it's the same thing. In other words, I would say I was not present in that moment, and that's my problem.
Okay.
I'm present in the future when I'm envisioning us on the road, and we're not there yet, and so I'm stressed and hurried and anxious. So I think those two things are the same thing. I think that if I'm fully present in the moment, the question I would ask myself is like, what would Jesus be like in this moment right now, right? If Jesus were getting my kids in the car to leave on a trip, would he be anxious, hurried, frustrated, demanding, overbearing, selfish? No, he would not be any of those things. So I think that being present in that moment of like, okay, we forgot a few things, or one of my kids woke up late, or gosh, there's some things we have to attend to before we leave the house. That's okay. That's the moment I'm in. And I want to be a fully Christ-like presence in that moment. And I guess all I'm saying there, Chris, is that I think that most of the time what leads us not to be a Christ-like presence is the fact that we're also not actually present in the moment. We're living in the future or the past instead of in the present.
I think that's a very provocative way to put that, because I wonder how often we frame it that way, where the reason that the way people experience our presence in a hurried or ungracious way is actually because we're not present, that there's something else distracting us from engaging people where they are, putting sort of the experience with the person at the forefront of our minds. That's very thought provoking.
Well, cause yeah, here's another way it plays out in my life. I'm working on a sermon, you know, I'm plugging away on study and thinking and writing, and someone drops in, you know, and wants to chat for a minute, right? They're interrupting my moment. Like I'm working on something. I'm getting stuff done. I'm sort of in a concentrated time, and I have a hard time being present with that person in that moment. because I feel like, yeah, yeah, I'm with you, but I need you to go away so I can get back to my work. Mm-hmm. And so they experience me not as a hospitable and like welcoming person, but as sort of a terse and short and like, let's get business done. So, you know, what do you need from me so I can get back to what I was doing before you came in? It's the same problem. It's an unwillingness to receive this interruption from the hand of the Lord in this moment. That God, this is not an accident. This person's walking into my office. God brought them here. And so for me not to be living in the present in what's going on right now, robs me of me and that person of the joy of experiencing one another and God in that moment.
So, what's the God complex? What's the idol that drives us to not be present?
Wow. There's probably multiple. The primary idol is always self.
Yeah.
The only thing we ever serve is self rather than God. All of our idols are various versions of self-love or self-worship.
Yeah, and in that, we're also agenda-driven, and, you know, we like to, you know, the weird thing about this whole situation is any good leader tells their time where to go and what to do, and they're detailed about where they spend the majority of their energy and the majority of their days, et cetera. So being interrupted is interrupting what I'm supposed to be currently doing, right? Mm. So my agenda trumps whatever the Spirit might actually have in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, what's fascinating to me about this whole thing is a classic passage in John chapter 4, Jesus with a Samaritan woman. How the Gospel of John gets into this story is fascinating to me, because verse 4 says this: he had to pass through Samaria. So Jesus is coming to the town of Samaria, called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, so there's kind of the disposition, the state of his physicality, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And then it goes into the narrative of how he interacts with that woman. And you can't get away from the fact that the way he interacts with the Samaritan woman, he's very present. And he's not just playing Jesus here or throwing scripts down, or, you know, I could call this woman on her sin if I wanted to. He's spiritually discerning about where she's at, wearied as he is, but he shows up and he's present with her.
So we could say it this way, that when we say being present, we're talking about primarily about emotional and relational presence. Because what most of us experience, what you see in Jesus in that moment that's different from how we tend to live is, we can be physically present, but not mentally, emotionally, and relationally present, and therefore not fully present, right? So it's sort of like part of us is there, but we're not all there. And we use that language. What we mean is, yeah, your body's here, you're physically in the room, but you're checked out, or you're not showing up with all of you. We had a guy on our team for a while, Dusty, that like this was my rebuke to him. I was like, hey, when you're in the room, man, be in the room. Like, you're half of you is here, and you're like half the time your mind and your heart are somewhere else. And man, we need you, like all of you as a leader in the room present. We're a church with a lot of young leaders and a lot of young families. And so a lot of people building their careers. And one of the things you often hear from moms and even young kids is, you know, husband comes home from work and he's there, but he's not there. You know, he's in the house, but he hasn't showed up emotionally yet. And so he's just sort of a hollow presence. He's not fully alive, fully here, fully enjoying and engaging the moment and the kids and the family. And I think there is that, there's a connection to joy here somehow. Hmm. That when we're not fully present, we just miss out on the opportunity to enjoy what God's doing right now, you know? And so thinking about this has helped me to ask the question, man, am I fully enjoying this moment right here that I'm in? Or am I wanting this moment to hurry up and get over so I can get on to the next moment? Or am I wishing, you know, the past moment wasn't over yet because I didn't get some stuff done?
Yeah, and I think no matter what you're doing in life, whether you're a mom, a pastor, a leader, a dad, an engineer, you can ask this question all the time. Am I being fully present? I could tell you, you know, regretfully, I could tell you stories of when I executed, you know, my job and did things, because, you know, there's certain things that you just do. And I could tell you, on the other hand, about, oh, walking out of appointments with people or situations where I was like, man, I think the Spirit was really good to us in that moment. And those are the moments where I was actually showed up for who was in front of me. And just last week, I had that experience where I was in this conversation with another leader, walked out, felt like the Lord was good to us in a new way over the last couple of years. And I think it's because, honestly, I gave myself fully to that moment, which is just interesting to think about. Am I doing that all the time? You know, no, I'm not. I'm not doing that all the time. I'm preoccupied. I'm tweeting. I'm, you know, doing all these other things.
Which is why we call the topic of this podcast, Giving the Gift of Your Presence. I'm provoked, Dusty. You read that text from the Gospel of John. I'm provoked by the fact that John has, in his writings about Jesus, has such a sense of Jesus' personal friendship toward him. In the sort of farewell discourse, John 13 through 17, as he turns the corner into that section of the text, John writes, Jesus, having loved his disciples fully, loved them until the end. There's that phrase of the sense that Jesus is fully investing himself in these moments with his disciples in a way that John can reflect later and go, we didn't get half of Jesus. We didn't get most of Jesus. He loved us till the end. He loved us with the fullness of his being. And I think that's what Christ-like leadership is the ability to show up with all of me and give the gift of my presence, because in giving the gift of my full presence, I'm actually giving people the gift of the fullness of who Christ is in me. And so when you give me the fullness of your presence, what I actually experience is not just all of you, but something of God. Mm-hmm. Right? And when you're not present, not only do I not experience fully you, but I also miss out on experiencing God in you. There's something about, if I ask what should distinguish Christian friendship or Christian community from baseline human community, it's, well, baseline human community has an element of posturing and pretending and people, you know, sort of like playing one another. And Christian community should feel more like gift, more like grace, more like people giving fully all that they are and all of themselves to one another in ways that image and give us a sense of, gosh, something bigger is here, something more than just, there's a spiritual dynamic at work here in what I'm receiving of you that helps me see the beauty of God and the image of God in you.
Bob, something you said back at the Corumdale Men's Retreat has been particularly helpful to me as I've thought through this issue, because where I struggle with this typically is along the lines of when I'm exhausted, when I just emotionally wiped. Ministry is, in some ways, can be very draining for me, being a little more introverted. So just expending a lot of people energy during my day, come home to Mindy, and won't have a lot of emotional energy just naturally there. And what you said at the men's retreat is sort of, and you probably said it much more eloquently than what I'm going to say, but this sort of checking out, retreating, is a sign of self-sufficiency, that you're not depending on the Holy Spirit. And so I think as leaders, as those listening to this podcast, if you're thinking about how to grow in this, there is a sense where this is a discipline, where you just need to train yourself to be present, focus. But there's also an area where you really need to rely on the Holy Spirit for the strength that you may need to be present when it's hard. And so I think there's a sense where this is supernaturally empowered to do this well. And so there's really no excuse. We really don't have a way to sort of say, well, I'm wiped, I can't be present. It's like, no, you have the Spirit of God calling you into a moment with people, whether it be your family or in ministry and other situations. And so having that is an important piece of how we grow in this.
Yeah. Thanks for that reminder. That's really helpful. I want to think too about, like, how would it change your gospel community if everyone was fully present? Like, if you went to gospel community this week with this mindset of, man, by the grace of God, depending on the Holy Spirit, I'm gonna fully show up, mm-hmm. I'm gonna give the gift of my presence. Man, if everybody comes into a room with that mindset, that's an amazing community. right? It's so different from what people traditionally experience. And so I think as you're listening to us talk about this, man, ask the question in context of spiritual leadership, whether that's, you know, being a part of a gospel community or whether you're leading in some capacity in the church, do you show up and regularly seek to give the gift of your presence? Once you start thinking about this and you're aware of it, it will start showing you where you're self-sufficient or where you just are lazy. And it'll open up a lot of opportunities for deeper sanctification and deeper growth in Christ.
It's interesting and fascinating to me too, to think about all of the leadership books that we, you know, we have on our shelves and then that are just constantly coming out, right? Whether they're Christian based or, you know, just on the Barnes and Noble, counter or shelf. And to think about what if the best leadership gift that you gave was just fully showing up, meaning like it wasn't necessarily about your skills, your talents, your contribution and your climb, but more about like, here's who you actually are. Here's who you are, which also means that's a vulnerability for you. And that means there's limitations to who you are when you show up.
Preach that.
And
oh, you mean when I show up, there's some things I don't bring with me.
Yeah.
I just don't. Yeah. I'm not good in that area.
Yeah. And so I'm fully going to get you in your limitations, which means in order to do that, that means that you're not going to fake it, posture, pretend so that I can actually get who you actually are. And so then therefore the community becomes more robust because now you're actually needy. You need me. We need others. Now it's a whole new ball of wax, you know, when it just comes to leadership. So
that's good. Let's try to get concrete and talk about what are some of the signs that you're actually showing up? What are some of the signs that you're all there? What are some of the signs that you're emotionally, relationally, spiritually present with all of yourself? That might be helpful to people who feel like, okay, this is great, but it's kind of abstract. So let's just bat some of those around. Here's a couple that come to mind for me. One, if you're fully present, Dusty, even if you think about the story you told a minute ago of, you know, being fully present and feeling like I gave all of myself and I was fully engaged in that moment, what I tend to notice is I'm a really aggressive listener. So like I'm paying attention, I'm making eye contact, I'm trying to take in what's going on in this conversation or in this moment. What are these people talking about and thinking about and concerned about? So I'm an active listener. That's a sign that I'm fully present. Number two, I'm excited. Like there's a sense of like joy being in the moment. And sometimes that joy just takes the shape of like, excitement, energy, enthusiasm. It doesn't feel like, I mean, I'm here, but why are we here? You know, like that sort of apathetic presence. It's, I feel a sense of enthusiasm and excitement to be in the room and not even just like there's amazing stuff going on right now. Just like, man, I'm really glad to be here. There's also, I feel like, a sense of contentment is a good sign. When I just feel like I'm happy to have this moment with this person or this group of people, and I'm content with whatever God is doing right now in this moment. I feel this sometimes. I notice with my gospel community, because I'm a leader and I have things I want that group to express, when I'm living in the future, when I'm not in the moment, I'm always comparing what is with what I think should be. And so I tend to be discontent with the group, even if it seems like really good things are going on. I was like, yeah, but it's not as good as it could be. But man, when I'm really present, what I find is, gosh, I'm really awed by what the Spirit's doing right now, even though it's not what it could be, you know, even though there's still plenty of room for us to grow, like what's happening right now on this living room couch is beautiful. And I tend to feel a sense of contentment and joy in what God's doing. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other indicators that I'm fully present?
I think one thing that comes to mind for me is can I fully participate in what other people are excited about versus what I'm excited about? Because I don't necessarily have to be bought into maybe the vision or the excitement the way they are, because it's, you know, God given for them. But can I actually participate in that, or do I just kind of like, you know, pat them on the head and go, oh, that's really great for you? So if I can fully get excited with people about what they're excited about, then I realize, oh, I'm actually fully alive right now. And, you know, that the flip side of that is, can I actually be present with them in their pains mm-hmm. as well? Mm-hmm. So meaning not just my own pains or my own afflictions or my own issues, but can I show up into the pain of other people, bear it with them, and find great joy doing so? Not joy because pain is exciting and happy, but pain, being present in their pain in a way that they need people to be with them And so I think that's one indicator for me, is just, can I show up in the excitements and joys with other people? And do they actually know that? And can I actually be present with them in their pain?
Yeah. For me, it goes back to what you were saying, Bob, about being spiritually present, going into meetings or situations or experiences prayerful on the front end, inviting the Spirit into the situation, acknowledging the fact that God's doing things before I even show up in the room. And then also at the end, walking away from that one-on-one or that group meeting, gospel community, whatever it is, acknowledging back to the Father that He's good, and trust those things back into His hands, and kind of release myself from being God in that situation. Because it's easy to do, to walk away from those things. If they went well, you're like, gosh, that went really well. I did a really good job. And like, totally not even acknowledge the Father's role and all of that. So being prayerfully present before and after, I think, is key.
Yeah, I would say more, this is probably more of a variation of what you guys have already been saying, but for me, my posture is one of edification more so than my own sense of what's the purpose of this, you know, meeting, or man, I don't want to be here, or whatever, you know, hang up I might have in my head. But it's going, and it's like, no, I'm going to come into this moment, be with this person or these people, and I'm just giving myself the edification. Like, that's what I'm energized by. That's what I'm motivated to do. And that's my focus. So more aware of that piece than myself. And what you said, Mike, is huge. I typically don't get there unless I'm praying and walking in intentionally. That's just not a default position for me, especially if I'm wiped from other things.
Yep.
So to return to the question we started with, how do people experience me? How do others experience me? What is their sense of my presence? When I'm present, what kind of a presence am I? That question, I think, can provide some fodder for fruitful thought and even conversation, whether it's with your roommate, your spouse, your gospel community, close friends. My longing, and I think our longing, would be that every Christian who wants to be spiritually mature and has a desire to lead in the mission of God would have a sense of awareness of this question. Because the courage to ask this question honestly and deal with whatever the honest answers are, man, is a doorway to such amazing self-awareness and such amazing opportunities for growth and change and grace. So I hope that question gives you some fodder to ponder, even as you shut down this podcast and go about your day.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and missions. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join us again next Wednesday on the Wednesday Conversation.